Well, good morning there. Go ahead and have a seat, and we're going to jump into what we're talking about today. I'm Greg Meyer, one of the pastors here at Jake Swell, so just glad to have you all back here. And like I said, back at Ann Sullivan, and get this place kicked in and fill up the room, and we can add a lot more chairs, so it'll be fun. I think this is an important part of our vision, is to be reaching out to these communities right in their own neighborhoods and so on. So thank you for being here as we get into doing all that. Before we actually just start into what I want to talk about today, I would like us to do a little something that actually kind of practice what it is that we're going to be dealing with. And don't worry, I'm not going to make you do anything too weird. You don't have to talk to anybody. So you introverts, this is your time, okay? Extroverts just had theirs. Now you introverts, you got your time. So just relax. Get your feet square on the floor. We've done this a few times recently too, and put your hands someplace where they're comfortable, and just kind of shuffle yourself so you're okay. It might help to close your eyes, but I'm going to ask you to open them up just to read something in just a second. Okay. In fact, if we can put up that next slide, what I'd like you to do is just open your eyes and just read this to yourself. I don't want to read it because I want it to be your voice. Just read that, and maybe a couple of times too, slowly. You can say it to yourself. And I'll be quiet. You've read it. It's in your mind. You probably have already moved on to the next step of wondering, what does this mean? What's it trying to say? And to take that then and say, well, what is it saying to me? Can you talk to God about that line? Even if you're not so sure that God exists and you can talk to God and that kind of stuff, there's a way that you can understand that this is a word that comes from beyond you, and you can be in a conversation with that. And then be silent and still around those words. Don't even worry about thinking about them right now. Okay, you just practice something that people have done for a couple of thousand years, and you did it in 90 seconds. You just dwelt in 8 words from Scripture and had some sort of experience with it. Might have been nothing, might have been something. There aren't controls over that, and that isn't the point. But it's something that I think, that I hope that you become very, very familiar with, and maybe even very experienced with in a way where it's an asset. It really helps you. And what we did has a lot to do with what we're trying to focus on through our worship services over these next 5 weeks, because I think it's an important part. The series that we're starting today is called Life's a Pain, in various parts of our anatomy. And, big pains and little pains. There's the big things that just sort of rip us apart and just leave our lives in shambles behind. And then there are the little stuff. There's just the things that wear away at us and just take away a lot of the joy that we'd like to have every day. Which is worse? It's really irrelevant. It's the one that you're dealing with at that point is the one that somehow you've got to deal with. And that's what we want to be talking about. So why this series? It's because life is full of, I'll call it stuff. I think you guys know this stuff, right? Is that the next slide up there? Maybe? Just slow? Well, anyway, life's a pain, or life's full of stuff. Okay, so we all know we have this sort of stuff going on in our lives, and that's kind of our code for all the other things, all the way that we actually think about it and what we actually call it when it happens. And the fact is that we need to deal with it, so that it doesn't, take over our lives. And also we want to talk about these things because this is really the context of our lives. And when we go along, and hopefully most of us have pretty good lives and things are going pretty well and we got lots of great things that we're thankful for and we enjoy most of our days. But we all know that from either extreme examples or to very small and small ways, we've got this stuff that we've got to figure out. And we do spend a lot of our energy and a lot of the direction of lives is determined by this stuff. And we need to figure out how are we going to cope with it. And it's one of the things I think that we gather as a community for is to try to figure that out. It's one of the reasons we have people in group life is so there's a place where you can figure out what you're going to do with all this stuff, all these life's a pain sorts of things. And but it isn't just to figure out, well, how am I going to deal with it? How am I going to get through it? But to ask a bigger question, because there's a bigger question behind all this stuff that happens to us in life. And that is there an element in which this stuff, this things that make life such a pain in so many ways and so many different places, that those things could be a gift. A gift. Now, that's an easy thing to say and a much harder thing to understand and to actually practice in real life. And I don't want you to try to go there too fast, but we'll try to work towards that a little bit as we go along here. So each week, as we look at some different aspects, and you can see it on if you go to our website and look at the emails that are coming, these different aspects which we're looking at how life is a pain and what we can do about it. But each week we're asking three questions about it. So first of all, what is the problem that so life is a pain? And the second, what is the medicine? In other words, what can we do about it? What do we have to throw at it to try to deal with it? And the third piece is, what's God's vision for this pain that's in my life? Right? And I have to say, I'm going to say this again later, but I have to say it right from the outset. That doesn't mean that God causes, that God gave you this to teach you something. I think we need to be able to get past that and look beyond that and not say that, talk so much about how what God causes in our life, but how God uses what happens in our lives. So we'll be diving into that a little bit. So what I really like to talk about today is our topic is life's a pain and then you sink. Not S-I-N-K, but S-Y-N-C, okay? Then we have to sink. We have to sink with something greater than us. Basically, what we want to talk about this today as we kick off into this series is how does God fit into it? And how do I use God? How do I deal with God when my life is a mess, when stuff starts falling apart? Because I think it needs to start there. This idea that we get in sync with God and being out of sync with God is just going to make what is already bad even worse. It just takes away the greatest asset we have, that what God wants to do is to help you with all this stuff and to do something with this stuff. So we need to get in sync with God. And the problem is that this stuff keeps happening. You're going to find this if you take your Sunday paper and look on the backside, you'll find an outline there. And there's this inevitable problem. I'm sure you've thought of it or seen it yourself. But first of all, we all are in favor of growth, right? I mean, who's not in favor of growth? Who's not in favor of progress? But the trouble is, growth doesn't happen without change, right? So growth means change. That's just an element. You just cannot have growth without change, not even physical growth. You can't wear those clothes anymore that you liked. And, you know, I'll never forget being about a 12 and 13-year-old having to sit in the back seat of the car. It was so painful because my body, you know, was changing. When I wanted to grow up, I didn't want to feel all that. But anyway, so growth means change. And change means what? Change means loss. What you had before is no longer there. Change means loss. And then, of course, the next step of that, of course, is that loss means pain. When we lose something, there's pain involved with that. So you can kind of cut out those middle two. Growth means pain. The connection may not always be really direct, but it will happen. If you want to avoid pain at all costs in your life, you are also avoiding growth at all costs in your life. And God, I guess you could just say, is pro-growth. We have this reading from Romans. So Paul took the message of Jesus. He's the first one to like take it all over the place and try to apply it, help other people who are outside of Jesus' bounds and the world that really understood Jesus and spent time with him. So try to make sense of it to them. And he was saying this. He wrote this. He said, not only that, this paragraph that comes, but he says, but we also boast in our sufferings. I mean, imagine that. We boast in our sufferings. We boast in the stuff that goes wrong in our lives, the stuff that hurts, our pain, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So there's a reason behind all this, something that's taking us someplace. And hope does not disappoint us. I like that. Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Hope does not disappoint us, not because it's a rosy-tinted outlook on the world, not because everything always turns out okay in the end, it doesn't, but because that hope is not rooted in everything working out right. That hope is rooted in a God that loves and always has the last word. That's a real key. I like to take this passage and read it backwards. Okay? I mean, who doesn't want to have hope, right? Well, we all want hope. But hope, unfortunately, is based on your character. I mean, you can't really expect that there's something to look forward to if you as a person aren't manicuring your life and aiming it in a certain direction. That's your character. And your character is based on your ability, is based on endurance. That's just taking this reading backwards. Endurance, meaning, I mean, your character is nothing if you only are that person when times are good. I mean, we're all nice when people are nice to us. We're all generous when we have lots to give away. We're all good people when there's nothing at cost. But when you are tried, when you are under pressure, when things aren't going your way, when you're feeling scarcity, how does your character hold up in those times? How generous, kind, and nice, and polite, and friendly to people are you at those times? That's it. So character is based upon endurance. Can you do it in the tough times? And then endurance comes from suffering. We learn to do that by being tested, by having things not go our way. So, that's kind of the situation, this problem. And this is nothing new. We could talk about it all day. Probably don't have to talk about it at all, because we all know that's kind of what happens in life. So the next piece there, what's the medicine? In other words, what do we do? How are we going to cope with this? How do we cope with that fact? And this is really get into the meat of what we're talking about today. And that is simply being in sync with God. Being in sync with God. So that's a fun phrase. Okay, Greg, what does being in sync with God mean? And it really boils down to one word. It's intimacy. Intimacy. We need to be in an intimate relationship with God, a close relationship with God, so we know who God is and we feel known by God. If not, things just don't work so well. I mean, think about it. If one of the things we hear all the time, and I certainly say it all the time, is what do you do when times are tough? I contact friends, right? I mean, friends. But what kind of friends? I mean, if you get something really bad going on in your life, do you just like, I knew this person back in sixth grade. You're not going to call that person, are you? You're going to call someone whom you have spent enough time with that you know each other. You're comfortable being vulnerable. They know some details of your life. There's been some free exchange of caring for one another. And you can trust them with what's going on in your life. You know they're going to be there for you. Now, you'll reach beyond that circle sometimes, but what? You're really pretty desperate, aren't you? I mean, all the easy options, all the first things that you want to do, they've already gone by. And now you're to this outer ring, and this is a little scary, and it takes a long time to pick up the phone and call them, text them, whatever we do. Those people, you don't know their cell phone number anyway. So, that's a hard thing to do. If God is like that to you, if God is not that familiar to you, then you're not going to be getting in touch with God. I think of when we do not have an intimate relationship with God, turning to God is kind of like calling 911. And we all know how to do it, right? 911. I remember when my 25-year-old now, when she was five, called 911 because she knew how. Try to explain that one to the operator on the other end of the phone. So that's great. We can call 911 in an emergency, but it's really got to be an emergency. We don't call 911 just because, I'd like a little help with something. 911, hello, this is 911. What's your location and your name and what can we help you with? Well, I just got called into my boss's office and he really chewed me out. I'm really feeling bad. Would you meet me for a beer after work? You just don't call 911 for that kind of stuff. And likewise, it's always something bad. You only call 911 to get bailed out of something that's really over your head. You don't call 911 because something good happened to you. Hello, this is 911. What's your location and your name? What can I do for you? My name is Greg Meyer. I'm at Pearl Park and my daughter just scored her first goal. Hang up. They don't want to know that. I mean, who really wants to know? Not only willing to be there for the worst of your life, but is ready to be there for even as soon as their little trips and maybe just things you need to process. Who's there to really be there and to be a part of the joys and all the stuff in between you to life? These are people that are really, really close to us. People we have spent the time to know and to share and to feel comfortable with. Now, God is one of those. And God is able to play a unique role among all those people that are closest because God isn't just another people. But if we don't have an intimate relationship with God, we're not going to use it. God's not going to be one of those people. God isn't going to be one of those friends for us. So we need to develop that kind of intimacy with God. When I was thinking about this topic, this little video clip came to mind immediately, and it's an old movie, but it's still kind of current, so maybe you'll recognize it. You want to go ahead and run that?
Dear God, was that necessary? Did you have to make him lame just before the Sabbath? That was nice. It's enough you pick on me. Bless me with 5 daughters, a life of poverty. That's all right. But what have you got against my horse? Really, sometimes I think, when things are too quiet up there, you say to yourself, let's see, what kind of mischief can I play on my friend Tevye?
So you're finally here, my brethren.
I'll talk to you later.
So why are you late today?
His foot went lame.
Well, hurry up. The sun won't wait. And I have something important to say to you.
Still have some deliverers in the village.
You'll be late for the Sabbath.
I won't be late.
You'll be late.
I won't be late. I won't be late. If you ever stop talking, I won't be late.
You can die from such a man.
As the good book says, heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. In other words, send us the cure. We've got the sickness already. Well, I'm not really complaining. After all, with your help, I'm starving to death. Oh, dear.
Well, anyway, so, you know, if we could all just talk to God like Tevye does. I mean, he's not really irreverent, is he? But he isn't necessarily reverent. He and God are comfortable with each other. He's telling God what he's thinking. I mean, you can say, well, I'm going to make sure I've got my thoughts collected and I'm going to talk right to God because it's God. You know, well, God knows what you're thinking. You know, just be who you are. Develop that intimacy with God. Let God in. Let God be a part of all these situations. That's what it needs to be about. That fill-in on your sheet says, you will trust God. And I think we need to do this. We need to figure out what it means to trust God with our lives. But you're only going to trust God as well as you know God. If you don't know God, if you haven't developed that intimacy with God, you aren't going to trust God with much. Well, why would you? Why would you trust anyone, anything with much if they're an unknown to you? Trust is based on how well we know each other. So this is Jesus. He's speaking. And he says, and going a little farther, this is the night before Jesus is going to be killed, okay? And he's in the garden with some of his disciples, and it says, and going a little farther, Jesus threw himself on the ground, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but you want. Now, there's lots of stuff going on in there. We could talk about this verse for a long time in relation to what it is. I mean, that God didn't want to protect Jesus from the pain of life. And that Jesus would like to have. Jesus said, if it's possible, can I bypass this? This is hard. I don't want to go through this. And then Jesus' submission to God's will, saying, but what you want, because I trust you, and I know you, and I know this is going to be the best, so what you want, it's okay with me. I just want you to know, if it doesn't have to happen, it doesn't have to happen, okay? So there's all that kind of stuff, and that's really good, but I really want to focus on one word only. And that is that word that's underlined, and it's the word Abba. Abba. Yeah, this is great Swedish rock band. No, Abba is the Aramaic word, which is a language Jesus would have spoken, all right? It's a form of Hebrew, Aramaic, and it means daddy. It isn't father, it's daddy or papa. Now, it's important to know that this was commonly used in everybody's household, but it was not used to refer to God. God was referred to as the Heavenly Father, Almighty Father, but not Daddy. Jesus was innovating here, all right? Jesus was showing an intimacy with God, His Father, in a way that other people had tried to say, no, no, God's really important. God's really big. You know, you say the name of God, you might get struck down. You're not, certainly not going to get this close and comfortable with Him. And Jesus said, it's the only way I can live is to know God that closely. God has to be my daddy. He gave us an example. He's showing us that we need to do it. And if Jesus needed to have that kind of relationship with God, you know, how do we think we're going to get along without it? I think Tevye and Jesus would tell us, you know, yell at God, get mad at God. I don't care. Tell God whatever you want to tell God. But get to know God. And you're going to get to know God when you feel like God knows you. It's not that God doesn't, but, you know, you got to say it. You got to put it out there. You got to feel like God heard everything that there was to be heard about you. And I think that's the only way it's going to happen. And it makes sense that we do this to the source of where we really feel our lives are coming from. Let's talk to the right people. I mean, yelling at God and then listening is makes sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to just let all that anger come out on the operator, the customer service person from your cell phone company who you yell at because it's the third time in a row your bill was wrong, and by golly, how come she or he over in India can't fix it for you? You know, that doesn't help. That's not going to make a difference. But let's talk and let's get to know God in that regard. Then the next thing about that is that you're going to know God as well as you practice knowing God. All right, you're going to trust God as well as you know God, and you're going to know God as well as you practice knowing God. And you're also going to need the sink then that fits you. Okay, so if you're going to practice knowing God, you're going to have to do it in a way that makes sense. I don't know if you guys can see this very well. You know what this is? This is 10 years ago, this would have been like, wow, look at that thing. You know, now you're like this, what is this? This is an old sink cable from a BlackBerry from the year 1784. I pulled it out thinking about, I was thinking about sinking, and it's even got another place to plug in the power for this, which I don't have along. You needed all this stuff to sync your BlackBerry up to your laptop. Now, this would no way ever hook up to my phone, and this would no way ever hook up to my computer anymore. I just can't imagine people once upon a time, you know, long, long before I was born, did stuff like this in order to, you know, have their world synced up the way they did. But they did do that, and now we've moved along, and I just, you know, push a little button and have my phone near my laptop, and everything's taken care of. You know, that's way, way better. What's the point is? There are ways that people, maybe other people, or maybe in different times that people got to know God, and they had practices and disciplines built around them, and they were good. They were worked. This was great technology at one point. It doesn't work for you today. It isn't yours. It doesn't hook up to your phone or your laptop. I mean, it doesn't connect you with the God that needs to be a part of your life today. So we need to own those things. We need to figure some of those things out together and to learn how to do that. So just a couple of notes on here on your outline. It says, first of all, it says, forget praying. All right? I'm just telling you right now, forget praying. Well, not really. But if you've got baggage around praying, you know, if praying is something you have to be kneeling by the side of your bed and have your hands folded and your eyes shut, and that's your only vision of praying and you just can't imagine doing it, or maybe it's a rosary. I know people in Jacob's Well who still use a rosary because that sinks for them. But a lot of other people, that's a total barrier with them, all right? They grew up in a Roman Catholic background, and it just was not a good experience, and that's one of their pieces of baggage. So the point is, yeah, what you want to do is you want to talk and you want to listen with God. Let Tevye be a great example of that. Develop that prayer life. But if the word prayer conjures up something else, something that you're supposed to do, not just who you are, then forget that. and think about talking with God. Think about listening to God and do that. Another piece that I want to give you is what is Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is just Latin. It means divine reading. It's what we did at the very beginning of my message. You had 8 words, and we did this little pattern. You'll see it here. I think it should be coming up next, but it's where you read, you reflect, you respond personally to it, to what you're hearing there, and then you just rest in that. We use this a lot here at Jacob's Well. That's what we led people through in July, and we're going to be giving you some things during this month too, but we are not going to email it out to every person every day. I think if you send us an email and you said you'd like us to do that for you and send you a specific email every day, we will, but it will be available on Facebook. It'll be available on our website, and through the weekly emails, you'll have a link to it and so on. But I think this is a really important thing to do. And so let's go to this verse where this came from. So this story, this is from the Mark chapter 9, and it's this man who has a son who in those days understood was taken over by a demon. He couldn't speak, he couldn't hear, he had convulsions and things like this, and this man was desperate for Jesus to help him. And he comes running up to Jesus, and he says this, and so not taking time for the whole practice, but if you can do anything, take pity on us, the father says, and help us. And Jesus says, if you can. What do you mean, if you can? Everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I'll invite you to take that home and spend some time with it today, but the reflections that are within there and how we can get beyond it, I think a lot about what that verse sums up, what we're talking about, is that we come to God saying, I trust some things. I understand my pain to a certain extent, but it gets to a point where I can't anymore. When Jesus says, everything is possible for him who believes, what's Jesus talking about? Does Jesus say, anything is possible for him who believes in me? Is he saying everything is possible for him who believes in God? In other words, believes that God exists and believes that I really am the Son of God? Or is Jesus saying, which the same word, we've talked about this a lot at Jacob's Well, the word believe is the same as the word trust, is the same as the word faith. They're all the same in the original languages. Everything is possible for him who trusts their life to God. Everyone who trusts where I am leading them. And when we say, I believe, help me with what I don't believe or can't believe, is he saying, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. I trust, but help me when I can't trust. I can understand the fact that I have problems and pain in my life some ways, but help me understand it the rest of the way. Is he saying, I can deal with the fact that I've lost my job and that I'm unemployed, but I need you to help me with the fact that I don't have a paycheck? Lectio Divina gives us this ability to not just read the surface, but to do, I think, what God has asked us to do with Scripture. And that is not just read it like a manual. It says this, I do this, but to dwell in it. I think it comes alive. The Bible, black ink on white pages, is the dead Word of God. It's just paper and ink. It's the living Word of God when we live with it, when we allow it to speak within us and discover where it goes. And sometimes we go in places that where we disagree with each other, and that's the living church. When we hammer it out, not when we all agree, that's a church of one, but when we disagree and we decide we're going to wrestle with that and we're going to figure out where sometimes our disagreement leads us, not only where we'll finally find agreement, because it isn't about resolving all of our tensions, it isn't about finding all the answers. It's about figuring out what God wants to do with us, with the tension that's within all this. And so that kind of leads us into this lively exchange with God. And this is a hard thing to talk about, but what is God's vision for these pains that I have in my life? What does God want to do with all that? Is God's job simply to help me survive it, to get me through it? And what's the repercussion of that? If I don't, then God let me down? Or does God have an idea of what could be beyond my pain and my suffering. Now, this basically boils down to two ways of looking at how God deals with this. There's the idea that, well, you know, God's job is to give me a smooth ride through life. Or I think the fill-in on your outlines is, you know, God's job is there to smooth out my life, all right? I got hurdles, I got problems, they come in my life. I don't know if God causes them or they just happen. And the purpose of faith is to turn to God and to really trust God so all that bad stuff will go away. Kind of, Tevye was kind of saying, God, can't you give me at least a little bit of that part of my life experience, you know? The other side of it is that maybe God's job isn't to do that, but it's to help me grow. Now, this is something we all have to deal with. This is a pretty sophisticated step of faith. This is something the people who are sitting outside the church and don't have an intimate relationship with God whatsoever, they're totally lost on. Because they see faith as a failure because it doesn't fix all the problems of the life. But we have to ask ourselves, is that God's job? Is that what we really want God to do? Is that what we really expect God to do? To smooth out my life and make it okay? Or do I want God to help me grow? And remember, growth means change, and change means loss, and loss means pain. It's really important, and I'm going to come back to something I said at the very beginning, to remember that this doesn't mean that God causes the sufferings in our world. What it means is it's not God's ultimate hope or purpose among us is to give us a life that has no pain. God doesn't cause what happens in life, but God says there will be nothing that happens in your life that I will not use it. And what the purpose of what Jesus' life was about, where Jesus ended up on a cross and was defeated, it seems, and gave in to all that pain, an enormous amount of pain, but yet lives again. It was God's way of letting us know that the last word is always life, and that last word always comes from God. And it has not only been true for Jesus, but it's going to be true for every one of us. And you don't get that by believing in Jesus, saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, he's my personal Lord and Savior, therefore I'm going to get covered by that same promise. But it happens by trusting in God, trusting God, trusting in Jesus. And saying, all right, I will no longer just turn to you because I will trust you to give me the life I want, but I will simply trust my life to you. And where it leads, I'll be there. I'll follow, and I'll know that you're there. There can be no ultimate defeat in that. This is difficult. It doesn't come easily for us to know how that all happens and how we can achieve it. Again, in Paul writing, think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. All right. Think about all this stuff, all these problems in your life. Think the way Jesus thought. Jesus Christ was truly God, yet he didn't try to remain equal with God. Instead, he gave up everything and became a slave when he became like one of us. Christ was humble. He obeyed God, even died on the cross. It wasn't the purpose for God, and it wasn't what Jesus wanted God to do for him to help him evade these things, but to follow this larger purpose, something bigger than his life, something that would add up to life and would be a gift for him. Again, Paul writing, what then are we to say about these things? This is a big list of all the tragedies we could have. What do we say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? A lot of great positive preaching has come out of that one. You know, we're going to defeat everything because God is for us, and so we're going to defeat everything. But no, you got to read on. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. It isn't over and against all these things, defeating all these things, but in these things. God's job isn't to rescue, to take it all away, but to be there in there with us. Where we get to the place where this is a gift is that God is loving us even through it and with it. So what are we at here? We are at the infancy of faith where we begin to look at God and say, I need to turn to you, I need to be loved by you, and I need to know you so that I can trust you. I think what God calls us is to be a community that turns to one another and helps each other and supports each other and is God's presence with one another at times. Because when we pray for miracles, God has a tendency to send people. God's preparing us to be here for each other's lives. And so take some time this week and get to know God. Be Tevye. Just say what you're feeling to God. And I think sometimes it's good to be like Tevye and say it out loud because it's a little more real when we do. I also invite you to spend some time with Scripture. We'll be sending you some passages, some longer passages to spend some time with and dwell with it. And don't be surprised if sometimes you can't figure it out and don't know how to do it and it's not working. It takes time. These are hard jobs to learn how to read Scripture and to dwell in it that way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Maybe it's hard to start with thanks. First of all, I guess we just turn to you because we need to. There is stuff in our lives that is so broken and so hurting that we're not quite sure what to do with it. We want to give it to you. We want to trust you with it. And it's a long ways for us to really be able to do that, to let go ourselves in ways where we're not just trying to fix everything up, but we're trying to see where you are leading us. So that pain we realize is just because things have changed. The pain and the loss come from our change, and all that is leading to growth. Help us to trust you with that growth. Help us to trust you with the future that you see and that you can help us create with you, but that is unknown to us and seems strange and maybe scary to us now. Be with each person today as within the transitions and the hurts and the pains and the worries that they have, and let them feel that they are known by you and they know you and that they can trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.